And we ask Allah Ta'ala to continue honoring us and showering us with His blessings, those that we know and those which we do not know, those we perceive and those which we do not perceive. We ask Allah to give us the ability to continuously making shukr. Respected friends and brothers, this weekend, starting from last night and today through Jummah, tonight as well as tomorrow, has been declared by the lovers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ashiqeen Rasul and the Ashiqeen Sahaba, the lovers of the Sahaba. They have declared this particular week, the times which I have just mentioned, to be Love the Sahaba Week, Love the Sahaba Conference. In other words, you are supposed to love the Sahaba all the time, but there is a need to create and raise a consciousness about the status and the virtue of this honorable band of Muslimin through whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala linked us to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a lot of lectures have been given, and as a prelude to the lecture that will be given tonight by a guest speaker in our masjid, we will do a little introduction. And we all present here, alhamdulillah, in this masjid, are honored by Allah Ta'ala to have the greatest amount of love for the lovers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want to learn how to love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you look at the life of those who really loved him, that they were prepared to die and give their blood for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those are the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So respected friends and brothers, like I said, they are the link between us and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's a chain. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at who He wants to give the Quran to, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to a hadith, Allah ta'ala looked at the entire hearts of His whole creation, in whichever form the creation was, in whichever world and realm they were. Allah ta'ala looked at their hearts, and from there He chose the heart of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He found it to be the best, and He knew it to be the best. So He chose that heart to be the recipient of His final message of the Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the hearts of the creation again, and He looked at the hearts of those who He knew were befitting to be the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So He chose them to be the companions. And they are those people, my brothers. If we remove them from the equation, then it is like a link, it is like a chain between us and Allah. Allah is the one from whom everything emanates. Allah is the one from whom the Quran emanates and the message emanates. He sent it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via Jibreel alayhi salam. So Jibreel alayhi salam is the second link in the chain. And thereafter comes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter come the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. And thereafter come the Tabi'een and the Tabi Tabi'een and whoever else taught the deen to them, right up till our ustads, and then we received it. So if anywhere along the line we got a problem with any of the links, if we remove the link, the chain is broken. The link between us and Allah Ta'ala is lost. The chain is broken because we had a problem with that particular link. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala ensured that the link of deen from him till after the Sahaba is very strong and very, very potent, and it is very powerful, that nowhere can it ever be broken. And how Allah ensured that? He chose the most befitting people to be the recipients of the wahi after it came down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, my respected friends and brothers, at any given time, it is part of our deen and our aqidah and our belief that we hold the Sahaba in the highest of regard and esteem. We don't allow any kind of negative thought to be harbored in our heart. And if we pick up any book of history and we want to read anything, and if we find anything negative written there, we will disregard that, we will discount it, but we will look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. And you must understand one thing, as a principle, we do not authenticate the Quran in the light of history. We do not give validity to the Quran in the light of what is written in the books of history. The other way around, we will look at what the Quran says and we'll validate history. and we'll authenticate. We'll say, this is true about the Sahaba because Allah has already spoken about them in this way. And you and I also know, my brothers, that when history is written, and many times it is written according to the slant of the person who's holding the pen. So if he'll want you to see history in a certain way, he'll see it in a certain way. And then he'll write it according to that. If another person wants to see it in another way, you look at the daily news. You look at the accounts that are given by different newspapers. So if you know what is the mindset and the slant of every newspaper, one event and you'll see how differently that thing is recorded and reported. So the same with history. Therefore, my respected friends and brothers, while history is in its place, we do not pass any negative judgments. We do not harbor any rancor, hatred, or any kind of suspicion for the noble Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. Because our starting point is the Quran al-Kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a clean, pure bill of total authenticity and truthfulness and justice. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. The ayat of the Quran that I just recited in front of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ امْتَحَن. We all know the word imtihan. Our children are going to madrasa into school. And then we also in school and in madrasa, then say imtihan is taking place. What is imtihan? Imtihan means a test. So Allah is saying, Allah is the examiner. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ. Allah is the one who took the imtihan of these people. And when the results come out, we all know how happy we get. Sometimes when there's a problem with the results, then we go for a remark. We say, you know, there's something wrong. We must start a page or I didn't mark properly, whatever it is. Can we even think for a moment that Allah Ta'ala made a mistake, na'udhu billah, when he released the results of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi majma'in? What results did he release? He says, lahum maghfiratun. For them is forgiveness. Allah has forgiven them. Why did Allah forgive them? Because in the eyes and in the sight of Allah, these people are worthy of being forgiven. And when Allah has forgiven them, then who are you and I to still look for a remark and say, no, there's something wrong with them there, and there's something wrong with them there. And wa ajrun azim, Allah said there's a great reward for them. So this is just one ayat of the Quran, my respected friends and brothers. We as believers, we start with the Quran al-Kareem when it comes to looking at the status and the personalities of the Sahaba individually and collectively, my respected friends and brothers. So nevertheless, having said that, at no time should we have this in our mind, in our heart. Like some people, they harbor hatred for the Sahaba. When you tell them, but the Quran says this, they say, yeah, but afterwards they went to go do like that. And afterwards, where does afterwards came from? Afterwards, what was written in history? So they are using history to dismiss the Quran. Can anybody do that? Can you dismiss what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said? Can you say that the Quran was wrong about them? If anyone harbors anything after Allah has said that they are the most virtuous, then such a person is actually saying that the Quranic verses are now outdated and they are obsolete. That it no more applies. When Allah ta'ala gave them a clean bill, when Allah ta'ala praised them, and not in one verse, but in dozens upon dozens of verses in the Quran, which is a book which was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is part of Islam and which is a part of the guidance of mankind till the day of Qiyamah. Did Allah Ta'ala not know that somewhere along the line these people are going to go cause it and they're going to do wrong things? Therefore, let me not put this particular verse about them. No, my brother. Allah knew that these are the most purest of companions and the most choicest of souls in His eyes. Therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them in the Quran, everything in the Quran, for that time and for the future until the day of Qiyamah will be valid. No one in history can come and distort events and fabricate stories and tarnish and smear the noble name of the Sahaba, because history is not what was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. History is what was written by the pen of many people whose hearts were slanted this way or that way, whose hearts were filled with hypocrisy. Remember, for anyone to curse and abuse and revile the Sahaba, according to the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a sign that this person is a munafiq, he's a hypocrite. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith, the sign of hypocrisy is hatred for the Sahaba, and the sign of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is love for the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. There's a hadith that is recorded in so many different books of hadith. Therefore, besides the ayat which we are mentioning, we also must remember there are lots of direct verses and indirect verses. So we can't go into all of them, but when we are reading the Quran, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made direct references to the Sahaba. Just look at two or three. Allah says, Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best of nations. Now, if you look at this particular verse, going a bit back, it's in the fourth paragraph, in the first page, second page, it starts off from there. Allah Ta'ala is referring and addressing the Sahaba. He's referring and addressing to those people who were immediately around Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, if Allah is saying, Kuntum khayra ummatin, you are the best of nations, who is he referring to? Specifically to the Sahaba. And you and I also, mashallah, like the title, we quote this ayat very often in favor of the general body of the Muslimin, which is not a problem. So therefore, the second thing, my respected friends and brothers, is generally Allah is saying that if you fulfill what the Sahaba fulfill, then you are also the best of nations. But the real people who are deserving of this title of best of nations are the people who I'm talking to now. Allah has told them on their face, Kuntum, you are the best of nations. Over and above that, there's another verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them. He says, Ula'ika humul muflihun. They are the ones, only they, humul muflihun in Arabic. Ula'ika al-muflihun will be translated as, they are the successful. Ula'ika humul muflihun, they alone are those that are successful. Meaning what? That they have been singled and emphatically regarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the successful. Another ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ula'ika humul fa'izun. They are the ones who have attained felicity and prosperity. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ula'ika humus sadiqun. They are the ones who are truly truthful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ula'ika humur rashidun. They are the ones who are the uprighteous. So there are so many verses, my respected friends and brothers, where we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised them. Like I mentioned in the introduction, the Quran is our starting point. The Quran is the book whereby we will take all our references and all our guidance from when it comes to look at the Sahaba. The yardstick whereby we measure the status of the Sahaba are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we go into the ahadith. We find there are so many ahadith wherein our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has praised these people, the Sahaba. I mentioned earlier on that you get the ashiqeen Rasul, those who are the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want to learn the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where do we go learn it from? We go learn it from the true lovers who were around him and who displayed such love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when the disbelievers used to see how it was being expressed, they say, we have visited the kings and we have visited various places and various emperors and rulers, and nowhere have we seen anyone giving that kind of love and adulation and reverence to their leader as the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give to him. He's making wudu. They do not allow a single drop of water to fall on the ground. They are falling over each other to capture that water and to put it on themselves. They are on the gallows, and somebody says, would you like it now to swap places with your prophet? The Sahabi says, I wouldn't allow a thorn to prick my prophet while knowing I'm sitting somewhere in comfort. That is the love these people had. So the ayat of the Quran and the ahadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are numerous. We at all times should guard. Many times people, they read a lot, you know, and then they start passing different remarks on political events of that time. Be careful you do not become sucked into a religion whose basis and foundation is to curse and revile the Sahaba, whose religion teaches them, go to Medina and greet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. And then when you come to the next grave in line and you start cursing and start swearing, the friend of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I come and greet you and you're standing next to your best friend and I praise you whole lot, wholesale, and then I start swearing your friend, what will you do? How will you feel about it? So that is a religion of a people we have to be careful about. And people actually start thinking and start acting like that because innocently, ignorantly, or whatever reason, they have been sucked into believing that it is okay to do that. It is not okay, my respected friends and brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken upon himself to protect this deen. He says in the Quran, what does he say? That we have sent you, O Rasulullah, for all of mankind till the day of Qiyamah. He says that we have revealed this Quran and we will protect it. And so what are the means that Allah Ta'ala used to protect this deen and this Quran till the day of Qiyamah? Will Allah Ta'ala choose somebody who is untrustworthy? Will Allah Ta'ala choose deceitful people? Will Allah Ta'ala choose traitors? Will Allah Ta'ala choose liars? Will Allah Ta'ala choose people who will turn away from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Will Allah Ta'ala choose people who conspire against his beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I've used all these words deliberately because there's a group of people who actually say these things about our beloved Nabi and our beloved Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in. Therefore, Allah won't use people that are liars and who are unjust and who are murtads and who are conspirators and who are traitors to protect his deen. No, Allah chose the best of places, Makkah Mukarramah, to be the birthplace of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala chose Medina Munawwara to be the best of places for him to be resting till the day of Qiyamah. And Allah Ta'ala chose whom he knew to be the best of people to be around his friend and his beloved Nabi. And that was the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in. Allah chose them. Allah did not choose me. Allah did not choose Abu Jahl. Allah did not choose Abu Lahab. Allah did not choose the Munafiqin Abdullah ibn Abi Salul. Allah chose them to be the enemies. And Allah chose them to be those who are wretched and unfortunate. Allah has in his knowledge that these are people who are going to find their way through Jahannam by reviling the students of my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, my respected friends and brothers, we harbor the greatest amount of respect and reverence as the Quran has taught us, as the Sahih Hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have taught us. And we teach that to our children. And we guard them and their Iman and their Akhirat by warning them not to ever utter anything negative against the real companions and the true lovers of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And once more again, we will repeat that inshallah tonight, after Isha Salah, we're having a guest speaker who is going to be addressing here in this masjid. And the poster is up there, and it's not the only lecture. There are 130 or 35 lectures taking place in the country, starting from last night, today, Juma time, tonight as well as tomorrow. Just for one thing, that the love and the status of the Sahaba and their virtues are highlighted and people become aware of it. Allah's mercy will be on the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah's mercy will be on the South African Muslims, inshallah. That when everybody else countrywide were reviling and internationally were reviling the friends of my beloved friend, they stood up and they did something about it. So for the love of Allah, for the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and for the love of the Sahaba, tonight let us be here. I would normally say let us honor the guest that is coming. Today I will say let us honor the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by being present here. Inshallah, the program, I spoke to our guest, will not be very, very long, but inshallah, he will give us further food for thought, advices, and which will actually help in us developing our Iman, and obviously our love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Al-Majma'in.